Lord, I just want to thank you for this day. I just know personally, it's easy to take things for granted. And so, Lord, we just want a fresh perspective on you. We want to see you in a new way. It's just impossible for us, Lord, to see you and know you completely. And so, Lord, today I just pray that this is a day where we know you more, that there's an aspect of you, there's something about your love, something about your greatness that we just didn't understand, and that you present it to us today. And it's not because we're smart, it's not because we've done all this work, it's just because we said, we're just setting this time aside, Lord, to be with you and to be in your presence. I mean, that's literally why we come to church, Lord, is to be with you and to know you. So, Lord, I pray that you would bring us closer, you would draw us near. Lord, you would give us better vision. You would show us the things that we need to see. And so, Lord, here we are, and we just ask for your blessing and your guidance over this service. And, Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, so you guys know we've been talking about a series, and, of course, Pastor James has, on the Beatitudes. Okay, and what you just want to remember is that's in the... It's in the book of Matthew, and we're going to be talking about a couple more verses. But this is considered to be one of the more popular sermons that Jesus ever preached. What's interesting about that is it's only a couple of chapters, like chapter 5, 6, 7 in the book of Matthew. And we're just touching on two of those today. And my hope is that Scripture will be in our hearts and our minds as we talk about it and learn about it today. But what Jesus was really, what he was telling people is, okay, you have a way of living in your society. You have a way of doing things. But I really need to teach you what it's like to live in the kingdom of God. Like, this is what's important. If you really want to know what God is like and how we're supposed to live, then you're going to pay attention to these Beatitudes. Because most of the time, they are totally against what our culture says is okay, right? They're totally against what we think we should do. And so we're going to highlight a couple of those. And I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to repeat this one a lot because it's important. We're only going to be talking about two verses. So I'm going to read it to you. It's Matthew 5, 7, and 8. And it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Okay? "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And in verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Okay? So my hope is today you will know those scriptures if you don't know them already. They will just be in your heart and in your mind. But we're gonna expand on that quite a bit. Okay, so when we talk about some of these things, I think it's important for us to just know the words, just kind of zoom in a little bit on them. So when it says blessed, it's actually a shorter way of saying God blesses you, or it's a blessing from God. So I think it's important to know it's not just a blessing from anywhere. This is what God does, is he blesses people who do these things. There's a little bit of a formula, right? So if you decide to be merciful, then you will receive mercy. And of course, that's a great promise, but if you don't know what mercy means, then you don't really know what you're getting, right? If you're giving something and you're getting it, you don't really know why you're getting it. So we're going to talk a little bit about mercy. And there's a lot of great definitions. I just want to touch on a couple of them. So probably one of the simplest ones that you want to remember is mercy is not getting what we deserve. Okay, not getting what we deserve. Now, if you're like me, you're kind of thinking, well, I do want to get what I deserve, right? If I worked hard, I want to get a prize. Okay, but in this context, it's more of the negative side. It's if you've broken a law or you've done something that's inappropriate, that's not right, then you should have a penalty for that, right? So if you break the law, you're speeding, you get a speeding ticket, you got to pay that, right? It's that kind of a thing. If you've done something, you've committed a crime, you got to do the time, right? That's kind of the deal. That's where the mercy definition comes in, is you don't get what you deserve. So again, I'm not here to say break the law of speed. I'm not trying to say that, okay? But that's what mercy is like from God. And so I just want to share a couple of things about that. There's a guy, John MacArthur, who's a great a Christian guy, and he says mercy is seeing a man without food and giving him food. Mercy is seeing a person begging for love and giving him love. Mercy is seeing someone lonely and giving him company. And mercy is meeting the need, not just feeling it. Okay. So I really like that that definition. Now, for me personally, there's a long time ago when I graduated from high school, they have a thing called grad night. I'm assuming they still do that, today, right, where you celebrate your hard work and Maybe those of you guys who are still in the education system, maybe you still experience that, I don't know. Okay, so I just want to give you some of the wisdom that I had on grad night. So we went, and you know, grad night is typically at night. It should be called like grad morning too, because it goes all the way into the morning. And so it was one of those things where you stay up all day, and then you know, you have your graduation, and then you have your grad night, and you're having all this fun, and then you're supposed to go to bed, right? That's kind of the idea. But we had a different idea on our thing. We thought, well, it would be a really good day to go to Magic Mountain, right? So that's what we decided to do. So I honestly don't even know if I slept at all. I'm really, sleep is important to me. Okay, I really love sleep. But on this day, I don't know that I slept much. But so just picture that, okay? Not much sleep, and then you go to Magic Mountain, and this is in the summertime. So, you know, the sun is beating on you all day long, and you're on roller coaster rides, probably drinking, you know, soda, eating all the junk food, you know, so all that stuff. Make it all the way through the day. Now it's time to drive home, right, from Magic Mountain. And I live in Rancho Cucamonga, basically this area, and Valencia is pretty far away, right? It's like a good hour, you know, hour and a half drive or something. And so I had a couple other people with me, and believe it or not, you know, Tracy and I are high school sweethearts, so she was in the car with me too. And I know I had my cousin, I might have another friend, I can't remember all the people. And then, of course, you know, I was driving my mom's car. It was about 2 years old, you know, so it was brand new. And so we're driving. I don't know what happened exactly, but Tracy must have been asleep, my cousin must have been asleep, someone else must have been asleep, and then guess who else fell asleep? Me, right? Okay. Now, you're driving on these curvy mountain roads, okay? Now, I will tell you, thank God that there are rails on some of these hills, because I literally, you know, we fell asleep and we woke up to our car bumping against those rails, okay? So now, I'm trying to give you an illustration of mercy here, right? I'm trying to give you an illustration. So, should I be alive today? I fell asleep at the wheel, right? And on top of that, I had other people in there. Other people's lives were in my care. So when I think about it now, it's pretty terrifying. I'm kind of mad at my parents now. No, I'm just kidding. But it's, you know, it's just, you know, I know we all have kids certain ages, right? We got to make those judgment calls. But man, I will tell you, that was the longest ride home after that. Because I had fallen asleep, and then I was not the driver after that. But I continued to nod off. Right, like after we crashed, right, we hit the rail. Everybody was okay. We didn't hit another car or anything. It was really nice. But, you know, I think it was Tracy or someone else drove the car. But I'm in the passenger seat, and every 5 minutes, I still can't stay awake. So I sleep, and I wake up, and guess what? I'm reliving my nightmare again because I'm in a car that's moving. I'm not the one that's driving, but I'm waking up to that panic scene. So I hope that none of you ever experience that, waking up, being behind the wheel. But that's what I did. But my whole point in that is, based on all the things that I did, I probably shouldn't be alive today, right? Yeah. And so I'm a little bit on borrowed time. So I just think, for me, that's just an act of God's mercy towards me. I don't really deserve, based on the choices I made, you know, they weren't safe. You know, we didn't really have drugs or other stuff in the picture, but it didn't matter, right? It just wasn't very smart, right? It was kind of a dumb call that we made. And so I'm just thankful. So when I think about mercy and I look back at my life, I just wonder how many times has God showed me mercy when I didn't even realize it, right? Those kind of things. And here's the fun part, because you know, I have this religious hat which I put on because it's so comfortable, but I was not a Christian at that time, right? I was not a Christian. So when you make that decision that you're going to be a Christian, you can look back in your life and you can say, okay, God was moving there, but you didn't give him credit for it because you didn't know. But then if you just sit and you look and you think, God will show you, you know, I've had my hand, I've been protecting you this whole time, even though you had me at arm's distance and said, no, thank you, God. You will not, you know, I'm not going to accept you as part of my life. God didn't, he didn't mind that. He was still patient with me. He was still corralling me. He was still protecting me. So it's just, I just think that there's a lot of parts in our lives where God's mercy shows strong. But we have to be willing to look and ask God to show those kind of things. And so that's one of those, you know, one of those situations. Now, when we come back to mercy, I think what's interesting too is you'll look at some of the people praying, like the 10 lepers and the blind beggars. They literally say this. They say, Jesus, have mercy on me. That's their prayer. They're not asking, can you please heal my leprosy? They're not asking for blindness. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying they just know they need mercy. They need God to touch and heal and do something. And that they're just asking for God to invite, you know, be invited into the situation. And so I think that's a prayer that we can pray too, right? Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on me. Now, when I, looking at the scripture, there's a couple of things that just stood out to me that I want to share with you. And one of them is called the parable of the unmerciful servant. So when I say that, does it ring a bell with anybody? The unmerciful servant? Because, I mean, I've read it before, but I don't know what it is. It's just not one that sticks out. Because we're going to get to the Good Samaritan. And to me, I think that's a really easy one to go for. But we're going to talk about the unmerciful servant. Okay, and you don't have to turn with me there if you don't want to, but I'm going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, 23 to 27. And I'm going to paraphrase it. I'll read a couple scriptures to you. I just want to talk you through that story. And this is an example of how God's mercy is displayed in one of the scriptures. Okay, and the idea with this is the parable that Jesus is talking about is somebody who, I guess he's very wealthy, but he's let somebody borrow a lot of money, and so much to the point where he can't pay it back. It's just impossible. And I was doing a little bit of math here, and I'll read it to you what I had studied here. But it talks about this master, you know, this guy who had money, and he let somebody else, you know, receive the money. He borrowed it, you know, he let him borrow it, and it says that the value of that money was around 6,000 denarii. And I know Pastor's been talking about that a little bit. And just for simplicity, you know, we don't have to understand Roman culture completely, but a denarii would represent a day's wages, you know. And I don't know what minimum wage is anymore. It keeps going up around here. But let's just say it's $11 or something. I don't think it's 10 anymore, right? It's probably, or maybe it's 12 or something. I don't know. It's something. But, you know, if you just do some simple math there, it's probably around like $30,000, right, would be an annual salary based on a daily wage, if you will. But, you know, a daily wage would be... you know, just your minimum wage times 8 hours, basically, right? And so if that's $80 a day or $100 a day, whatever it is. Anyway, I feel like I'm confusing you with math. I'm not trying to do that. But basically, the amount that was owed by this person, it says somewhere around 6,000 denarii, which would be like 6,000 days worth of work. You know, and then if you just do some simple math, like if you said you work 300 days a year, then that's like 20 years worth of salary, right? And if you did 20 times 30,000, you're at 600,000, right? That's not, I guess, a horrible amount of money, but that's a lot, right? It's probably, yeah. I mean, it's more than, you know, what I owe anybody today, right? I mean, that's more than my mortgage, right? I mean, I know mortgages are expensive, but that was if it was silver. If it was gold, it was even like a more significant amount. It'd be like three times that. But the whole basic idea is this man who had a lot of money, he let another person have that money, but he just couldn't pay it back. And his original plan was, okay, well, I'm going to make you, I'm actually going to sell the husband, the wife, and the kids all as slaves so then they can earn the money, so they can pay it back. And the guy pleaded with him and said, you know what, we can't pay it back. Can you please help us? And he's actually forgiven. He's given mercy, right? He's given what he doesn't deserve. Okay, and so that's just an awesome picture of what God does. Things that it's impossible for us to pay back. It's impossible for us to fix things. Like if we want to make it real, we're talking about our sins here, right? We're talking about how we live and we make mistakes, how we can't fix that. But when God comes in the picture, he does correct that. I mean, that's just the healing power of Jesus' blood, is it fixes things, right? It reestablishes us. Of course, we have to submit to that. Now, here's the interesting thing with this unmerciful servant, is he has people who owe him things as well, right? It's not just, he's not the only one that has borrowed money. He's let other people borrow money from him. Now, remember I was telling you numbers, like 6,000? Well, someone owed him about 100 coins, if you will, you know, or 100. It was a significantly less amount that was owed to him. And he decided that he was not going to forgive that debt to that other person, okay? So you just think about that. How greatly was he forgiven? But he decided anybody that's wronged him, he's not going to be forgiven, right? He's not going to forgive them. Okay, and so the scripture I just want to touch on real quick is on verse 33. This is when all of this kind of comes, because he actually gets kind of ugly. He throws him in jail, which is really a bizarre thing, because how do you make money in jail? Or you kind of have to be working to make money, right? You got to do those kind of things. So, but towards the end, the one who's forgiven most, you know, the other gentleman, he says in verse 33, should you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Right? You received mercy from me, but you weren't willing to give mercy to someone else. And I mean, and how does that play out to us today? I mean, if we really don't understand how great of a forgiveness and mercy that God has given us, I think we can misunderstand the mercy that we're supposed to give to other people. If we realize that God sacrificed Jesus for us so that we could be with him, that everything that we have done can be corrected. But then someone comes and steals our car. Someone comes and breaks our heart. Someone comes, destroys our career. I don't know all the things that people have done to you, but I know things happen because people are imperfect. But if we see that the mistake that the people have done to us is greater than the forgiveness that God has given us, then we're not really living the right way, right? We're not seeing it the way that we're supposed to. And in fact, we're kind of behaving like the unmerciful servant. Okay, so those are things that we got to be aware of. We got to ask God to show us, what does it mean? What does his mercy mean to us? How merciful has he been to us? Because I think this, when we really understand the mercy that God has given to us, I think it almost makes it easy for us to forgive other people. Because we realize that the thing that they've done to us is significantly smaller and actually has no impact on us in eternity unless we give it, any value. And all I mean by that is, if we allow that offense or that thing that people have done to us to kind of take over our lives and to harden our hearts and to ruin the way that we see things, they're actually robbing us of the joy that God wants us to have. But we have to realize we're a big part of that picture. Again, people can be ugly and painful, right? But we give them that power depending on how we see that. Okay, so I want to jump into an example of where God demonstrates mercy in an awesome way, and that's where the Good Samaritan comes into play. Okay, and that would be in Luke chapter 10, 25 to 37. You're welcome to turn there. You don't have to. Again, I'm going to paraphrase that one for us as well. And the Good Samaritan, you guys, if you've been around church at all, you probably could recite it better than I can, okay? But the whole idea is, just again, the reference is in Luke 10, 25 to 37. This is Jesus' response to a question. Now, if you guys have questions about the Bible and what God thinks is important and all that stuff, you want to be reading your Gospels, because there's some really good questions in there, okay? And one of the questions that Jesus is asked is, okay, you've got this, we've got all this scripture, okay? And literally, I think at that time, they just had the Old Testament, because they were kind of living the New Testament at that time. It wasn't really written down, per se, so it was coming. They said, look, you have all this good scripture, all this stuff that come from God. What is really the most important? I mean, can we just get to the chase? Let's, give me the shortcut. What is it? And, God says, well, there's really just two commandments. To love God and love your neighbor, right? Yeah, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then they said, okay, that's, Jesus, that's great. But what I really don't understand is, okay, I can love God, but who's my neighbor? That's really the question, right, that they're asking. Yeah. And they're like, well, because I have somebody living on the left of me, I have somebody on the right of me, I have somebody behind me. Those are my neighbors, right? That's it. Just like, I only have to pick like five people, right? Those are my neighbors. And Jesus says, well, okay, I understand you're asking a question. You want some clarity. Let me give you the real answer. So when he goes, when he talks about his neighbor, he goes, okay, well, there's a guy that's just walking down the road. Again, I'm just paraphrasing, right? I'm not trying to take away from the scripture. I'm just giving you the big picture. It says a guy's walking down the road, and he actually gets beat up and robbed and mugged and left for dead on the side of the road. Okay? And fortunately, somebody comes by, and it's a priest. But you know what the priest does? He just keeps walking right by. And guess what? There's a Levite. So he comes by. But does he stop? No, he just keeps going. Okay? Now there's somebody who's a Samaritan that comes by, and what does he do? Okay? He notices there's something going on. It's kind of like that quote that we just read from John MacArthur. He sees a need and he fills it. Okay? So did that person, was it the responsibility of the Samaritan to take care of that person, right? So the guy that got beat. But he had a heart, right? He had a merciful heart to do that. So this is the kind of care that he gave him, is that he bandaged him up. He kind of became first aid for him, right? He made sure that he was good, he was clean, he was fresh. And then he knew that he needed time to rest. So actually got him a hotel room, right? He put him in the inn, and then he paid for his food, and then he paid for his stay. So he was very sacrificial in the way that he cared for and the way that he showed mercy. Okay, and then just one little scripture I wanted to read on there. So again, Jesus, he's being asked questions. So Jesus is really good at asking questions too. So in verse 36, he says, well, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And then verse 37, it says, the one who had mercy on him. Okay, so God is using that specific word, mercy. Okay. So again, if you want to be thinking about what are different scriptures that relate to mercy, I just offer two to you today. One is the unmerciful servant, and then the other one is the Good Samaritan. Okay, now when we see a story like that, a Good Samaritan, I think it's just natural for us to think, who is it in our lives that have helped us? Who has gone out of their way to show mercy on us? Because I know there's people in our lives that do that, right? And here's the cool thing, yeah, like parents, right? Teachers, there's just people that are in authority, people that notice. And you know, and I'll just tell you too, this hopefully this is a shout out to teachers and maybe the education system. I don't know honestly if we were poor. I think we might have been, but you know, I kind of think like lower middle class or something, or maybe it's higher lower class. But you know, there were some shirts I just loved, and they were like totally ripped, you know. And when I mean ripped, like not in a good way, you know, like where you shouldn't wear them anymore, that kind of rip. And I guess that's cool now, but back then it wasn't cool. Okay, so but I had teachers there. I would like come home with a bag of clothes. Okay, and I honestly to this day I don't even know if we needed them or not, but that's just the kind of people that my teachers were, right? They would notice, hey, something's not right with that kid. They need some help. You know, they need love. And so I'm just thankful for those kind of merciful actions that happen every day. You know, they don't go notice. I never did go back and, as far as I know, tell that teacher thank you. So I just hope that they know in their hearts that they're doing the right thing, right? And I just feel like mercy is something that we can do at any time, right? It's something that we have as a gift. And I just pray that our mercy, the mercy that God gives us, it just wouldn't be something that we disregard and we don't realize. It's just constantly there. And you know, and Caesar was sharing with me this morning, because I have some cards I'm going to hand out to you guys in just a minute, and I'm going to ask for some volunteers to come help me pass them out if you guys don't mind. And my whole goal is I would like everyone to get one of these, okay? And they're a little sticky here, but if you don't mind, just grab one, pass it around. And yeah, that'd be amazing. Thank you. And my whole goal is everybody get one at least. And if you don't mind, just take one and pass one around. Did you guys get any in the front row yet? Okay. Okay, so as these are being passed around, I'm going to explain them to you. They're just a very, very simple card, okay? And they kind of look like a business card. And on one side, you're going to see mercy. And we haven't gotten to the pure heart yet, so I'm going to explain that in a moment. But on this card, what it reads is it says, you show mercy to others, and your reward is that God shows mercy to you. Okay? Now, there's a couple things I want you guys to understand about this. One is, you remember that story I was telling you about me driving and falling asleep? Was I a Christian at that time? Was I a Christian when I should not have made it? Right? I wasn't. So God shows us mercy in a lot of ways, way before we become Christian. Okay? So, he literally saved my life. And my whole point is God is a very merciful God. He will show us mercy even when we don't know him. But when we do know him, I think we really have to pay attention to that mercy that we get. And we have to be very deliberate to give mercy out. And again, the reward is that God will give us mercy. Right? When we show mercy to others, the reward is that God shows us mercy. Okay, so this, again, it looks like a business card, but I want you to think of it like almost like a playing card. Okay, this is a card that you can play. So literally, I'm giving you a gift that you already have. You guys already know you had a mercy card that you could play? Mm-hmm. So any situation that you're in, you can play your mercy card. Now, I'm not intending for you to take somebody and say, I'm playing my mercy card on you right now, right? You don't have to do that. I mean, it might be kind of fun. You might want to try it. Okay, but the whole point is you keep this with you, and you know you have your mercy card ready to play. Okay? Now, here's the thing is it's not just a one-time use, right? This does not expire. And this is pretty much useful in any situation, okay? Now, there might be times where you don't need mercy, but I'm going to go ahead and encourage you, just give mercy, right? Just go ahead and do it. Like, I mean, there are times where mercy could be hurtful, but it's like going to be this often. So you might as well be a mistake on the side of mercy, of giving mercy. And I think, honestly, you know, God is very merciful. The Bible says he's rich in mercy, right? That's just what it's all about. Okay, so you guys have your cards. Now, I think you guys know this, but I just wanted to give you some encouragement. So you want to use this card when you need patience with people, okay? If you need patience with people, yeah, you pull out your mercy card, okay? So that's what it's used for. If there are people that are around you that are hurting, that's where you want to use your mercy card, okay? If somebody might need a second chance, they keep messing up, or maybe they need a third chance, or they need a fourth chance, or a fifth chance, that's where your mercy card will come into play. And if somebody is like actually making you angry or offending you, that's probably also a good time to play your mercy card. Okay. And I really like this one. It says to build bridges of love to the unpopular. That's a great time to use your mercy card. Because there's people that stand out, they're unpopular, and probably for good reason, because they're offensive or they're doing stuff that just rubs people the wrong way. And then this one I love a lot too is when you value relationships over rules. So if you're having a disagreement or an argument or something where you're like someone's trying to be right, you want to play your mercy card when you want to be focusing on that relationship. Okay, now I have a couple requests for you with these two, okay? So remember I showed you have this powerful piece of paper here where you can write prayer requests and praise reports. You can also write testimonies too. And I would just, the church would love to hear too, just from you on a couple things. But basically, my challenge to you, my special request is that you play your mercy card at least once a day for the next 7 days, okay? And here's the thing, is you're already playing your mercy card, you just don't know it, right? Or you're just not thinking, I'm playing my mercy card right now. Okay, so I just want that mercy card to be front and center. And so each day this week, I want you to play your mercy card, okay? And then I want you to just pick one of them and share that back with the church. And the way you do that, again, is through your prayer request, or you could send an email to the church. You could even call in if you want. But there's power in you writing something down and sending it back in. Okay, so I just want to see how your mercy card is being played. Okay, and then this one maybe is a little bit more fun. But do you see my graphical skills that I have here? Do you see how like powerful? When you read this, you're like, man, I want to give this to everybody. Okay, I am a minimalist. Okay, if I could put less things on here, I would. Okay, but this is as much as I could fit on there. But I just know that there's people here who are gifted with creativity and art and colors and visuals and all that kind of stuff. And so it's just a special challenge. If anybody wants to decorate a card, make a card that, you know, maybe looks like a game card or playing card or something that, you know, communicates mercy, I just want to invite you to do that. And if you feel like doing that and you come back next week and you submit it, we're going to show it to the whole church. So we're going to just show what other mercy cards you guys may have. Okay? So again, totally up to you, just for fun, right? But I just know you guys have giftings and passions that are way better than my little mercy card here. But again, the whole thing is that what we're taking is we're taking God's truths and we're just bringing it around with us, right? We're just saying, you know what, God says that we can be merciful, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to be merciful. And we're going to talk about the pure heart in just a minute. And I want you guys to also know this about this card, these cards. It's very simple, right? It's just paper. I think there's red ink and black ink. Maybe there's something else in there that I don't know. Okay, but I will tell you this. We have prayed over these cards. We've asked for God's blessing. We've asked for God's spirit to be in there. I've also asked the elders to pray over them as well. So these are as anointed as we can make them. Okay? By the power invested in me, by us, by the Holy Spirit, okay? But really, no matter what gift you get, whatever it is, it's your choice to use it, right? But I just want to tell you, you have a lot of power. And this card is just a representation of that, okay? It's just a reminder. All right, so enough fun with the cards. We'll come back to those in a moment. Okay, so we've talked about blessed are the merciful because they will be shown mercy. Yeah, blessed are the merciful because you'll be shown mercy. All right, now we got to get to verse 8. And it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Okay, so we're going to talk about pure heart and stuff and talking about seeing God. Now, what's really fascinating about this is my hope is that we're very clear about what a pure heart is. Okay, when we think about, especially from a spiritual standpoint, and then also what we're talking about when we see God. Okay, because what I would love is to see God here in person. Right, we see Him physically, face to face. Right, love that. And when we look in the scriptures. We're gonna talk about Moses hopefully a little bit. But as I was preparing for this, I really felt like God was putting a couple things on my heart that He was showing me. And I will just tell you personally, if you guys ever have a chance to teach something or lead something, God always has something for you that He wants to show you. Amen. And this was, I don't know, there was just something extra special about what He was showing me this time that was really awesome. So I want to share some of that with you right now. And so, you know, when we're talking about, so I've been talking about driving, right? We talked about how I shouldn't be here today because I didn't make some good choices. Okay, the other day, I was actually driving safe. I was awake. I wasn't doing grad night, any of that stuff, okay? And I was taking my son to one of his friend's house, and I was on the 15 freeway, and we got off on a street called Limonite. Anybody familiar with that area?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I thought that was Riverside. I don't know what city it is, but there's all these cities around. Okay, now you might be thinking, okay, well, that's just a street. I mean, they're actually doing a lot of cool stuff there. They're building shopping centers, all that kind of stuff. But that's not the point. But there's something special about that street, Limonite, that happened in 1999. Again, you know, it's special to me anyway. Is when Tracy and I actually got married. And we got married at a golf course, and it was off of Limonite, okay? But here's the thing that I think is important for you to know, and is I just feel like what God was sharing with me, is at that time I was not a Christian, okay? And at that time I was upset. I didn't want to have my wedding in a church because I wasn't into God. God wasn't part of my life, okay? I said no to God as often and as loud as I could, and I let people know that. They knew I was not a Christian. I don't know why it was so important, but that's what I did. And I was actually upset that we had to have a minister perform the ceremony. I'm like, as much as I could, I was trying to say, God, please do not be part of this, right? That was just my way of thinking. And I was very confident in that. And so yesterday, when I was driving off of Limonite, I was like, oh, this is kind of an important road. You know, this road is where we got married. And we purposely chose to exclude God in our lives, right? And then I'm just thinking, here we are 20 years later, and God was patient with me. He showed me mercy, right? He knew that if I just took the time to learn about him, if he just kept loving on me, that eventually I would have a choice to choose to follow him. And so I'm just thankful that he's the kind of God that, well, it doesn't matter how often you say no, even if it includes something important like a marriage, where you say no to God, he's bigger than that, right? It doesn't matter what mistakes we make. It doesn't matter what we said before, you know, it's all those kind of things. If we really are willing to surrender him, and again, it's maybe it's all part of this preparation, but we are kind of learning, we're leading towards the pure in heart, right? That's kind of what we're reading about right now, is blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, okay? And as I just mentioned, we're talking about physically seeing him, but I think there's also an aspect of seeing God move in your life. Like, remember I was telling you about the mercy of him keeping me alive in the car? Well, now I'm seeing his mercy and how he was very patient. And it was okay that I said no to him, right? The next, you know, again, I'm just on a road where I had totally excluded God. And he's saying, you know what? I'm bigger than that. You can still share the word with people. You can still be someone that I can use. And so that's just really awesome. Now, when it comes to a pure in heart, we are talking about cleanliness. So when we're talking about us, and again, we're talking from a spiritual standpoint when it comes to purity, if something's dirty, then you know something's off, right? It's not the right color. There's stuff that's in the way. It's kind of being blocked. And ultimately, when it comes to purity of our hearts, we can't attain that. We kind of talked about that a little bit. When we sin, there's nothing that we can do to fix that. We need Jesus to come in and forgive our sins, right? We need to ask him into our lives. We need to have his healing power, his restoration that he's made. And that's the cool thing about Jesus, is that he purifies our hearts. And what's important about what I'm saying that is we can't purify our hearts ourselves. And sometimes we can't even see that we don't have a pure heart. Sometimes we're even blinded to that. We need him to show us. And then not only that, after he shows us, then we need him to do it. We need him to actually help us cleanse it, specifically with his blood, and to show us the ways that maybe we're not thinking right or we're not doing it right. And it says a pure heart has no hypocrisy, no hidden motives. It's marked. A pure heart is marked by transparency. And, it's an internal cleanliness. And Jesus addressed this a lot with the Pharisees. He would say, you know what, you guys do everything like almost perfect on the outside. But when it comes to the inside, your heart is nowhere near me. You know, so that's just something that happens, unfortunately, with a religious spirit, is we can try to be perfect on the outside while we neglect the important things on the inside. And so if we catch that, if we know that and we practice that our pure heart is what we need, that's going to allow us to see God moving. It's going to allow us to see God, because that's what we need. And you know, when we think about these beatitudes that Jesus is talking about, he says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You know, if you flip that around, what God is saying is, I want to be close to you. God wants to be close to each one of us. He wants to give us mercy. And he's just saying, the way that I can do that is, you got to have a pure heart. You just got to do things the way I'm telling you to. And And also, you got to show mercy to other people, right? Those are the things. So, so it's not a set of rules. It's just saying this is how life is with God. If you really want a healthy and a holy way of living, you know, He has the clear directions right there. He's not making it. He's not making it difficult. Okay. So, I want to talk a little bit about Moses, and he is one of the people that, you know, kind of surface in terms of being face to face with God. Now, there's kind of some interesting things. Pastor James already talked about it. Like, there was a scene where, you know, God is, or Moses is just saying, "Show me your glory." And God's like, "Well, you can't really see me because it's just too much for a person to see me. You won't survive it," right? And so, "But I'll show you, like, the backside of my glory." So apparently, you know, if you're not face to face, it's still sustainable, right? There's still a part where you can stay alive. And you know, what's interesting is, you know, Moses, this goes all the way back to Egypt and him rescuing out, you know, the Hebrews from Pharaoh's slavery. And when he did that, you know, there's all those, the 10 plagues, right? There's all these miraculous things that Moses had done. You know, he split the Red Sea. They had a ton of you know, evidence of the power of God and just how anointed Moses was. And yet the people, their hearts weren't necessarily pure like Moses's was. You know, they continued to complain and grumble, and they continued to want to go back to what they were used to. They didn't want to go where God was leading them and where God had called them to. And in fact, so much they said, "You know what, Moses, you go talk to God, and you know, you have a conversation, and then whatever He tells you, come tell us." So they actually could have had access to talk to God, but they chose not to. They're like, "No, we really," you know, their hearts were not pure. Their hearts were not clean. And they were okay with that. And I just, you know, I just pray for us that we would not be satisfied with that. That we would not be those people who do not want to come close to God, because we all have access to Him. I'm very thankful we have a senior pastor and Pastor James who spends a lot of time with God. We need that. And we want to bless that. But we also want to spend time with God too, right? And I will tell you, it is a lot easier to hear from a person what God wants to do, because it takes work and effort on our part to keep our hearts pure and our hearts clean, right? And so we need to do that. We need to take our responsibility there. Now, now with Moses, there's many things that happen, but I do think, again, another picture of an unclean heart or impure heart would be his brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam. And you guys remember that scene where they kind of decided they were as good as Moses was, and they should go ahead and lead too, like Moses was leading. And they said, "Okay, Moses, you're not the only one that can hear from God. You know, me, Aaron, or me, Miriam, I can also hear from God too." And so, you know, God didn't like that when they did that. I don't know if you guys know that. He was not cool with that. And in fact, he had a conversation with all of them. And he said something pretty specific. He said, you know, "When it comes to Moses, I actually speak to him face to face. When it comes to the prophets, I just give him visions and dreams and stuff. It's kind of like secondary. It's kind of not so direct. But with Moses, we are really tight. We are really close." And obviously, that's, again, it's another picture of Moses' pure heart, that God would want to be with him and trust him. But Aaron and Miriam, they had a different picture. They preferred that, you know, hey, they were better. They could talk to God too, right? It didn't matter that God was speaking to Moses. Their impure motives were keeping them blocked and keeping their hearts blocked. And, you know, and I will say the thing I just breaks my heart about Moses is kind of the end of his life, is when he did all of that and he still wasn't able to get into the promised land. And I will tell you, I mean, it is one of those things, like, it just seems like such a minor thing. And I don't know if you guys remember that, but the people were grumbling for like the millionth time that they were hungry, that they were thirsty, that they wanted to go back to Egypt, that they didn't want Moses to lead them in, right? They didn't want to go to the promised land. I don't know how many things they complained about, but for me, I couldn't be Moses. That's all I'm trying to say, is I don't have the patience that man has. He has a really awesome heart. But there was a time where previously when they were thirsty, he actually smacked the rock and water came out of the rock. Everybody had enough to drink. But this was a time where God specifically said, "Speak to the rock." And Moses, unfortunately, I mean, he's human, so I could totally get it. I would probably have done the same thing. He smacked the rock instead of speaking to it. So he literally disobeyed what God had asked him to do. And unfortunately, even as pure of a heart that he had, there's still sin and there's other stuff that gets in. You know, it's not just, you can't just live on yesterday's faith, right? His faith had to be for that day. And, you know, when I think about it more and more, so he, not only was he disobeying God, but that was the leader, that was the person that was going to take them into the promised land. Yeah. And if the leader's starting to falter, that's probably not a good thing, right? Even as great as stuff that he did in the past, it's how are you leading today? And so it breaks my heart to know that, unfortunately, you know, our pure hearts, they take work. You can't just depend on what you did yesterday. And when it comes to, you know, those things and just a pure heart, I think part of it is coming to just the resolution that, you know, God is with us and he is present. And that can give you good things. That can give you peace, or that can give you bad things. It can give you fear, and it can give you, and I'm just going to give you kind of probably a bad analogy, but I don't know, you know, it just, we live in Southern California, so we're driving all the time. And, you know, there was, right now I'm in a season of driving fast, but believe it or not, I would drive slow, you know, and when I say drive slow, I mean driving the speed limit and stuff. And here's the funny thing is Tracy thought I was doing that to make her mad. And I'm like, it's just the law. I'm just trying to follow the law. You know, it's one of those things, like, you can't be right, right? You're darned if you do, you're darned if you don't. Okay, so I'm driving, and so here's the thing is when you're driving the speed limit and a police officer comes, do you think I'm getting worried? No. I'm not breaking the law, right? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. So I'm actually kind of thankful that they're there to protect everything, okay? And I think there's something to that when you really feel like you're following what God wants you to do. When he comes, you actually, you're happy he's there, okay? But let's say I'm speeding. I'm going 75, 80. You know, I don't know how fast you guys drive, but you guys go really fast over the 65. Now you see a police officer, what are you doing now? You're like, well, you don't want to touch the brake because now they know you're slowing down, right? You know, you just want to kind of cruise. You want to find the fast car, get behind them or something, right? You're just trying to dodge it. So when God's presence comes, you kind of, now you're like scared. You don't want to be there because you know in your heart you're not doing what God's asking you to do. Okay, so again, when I was talking to driving, that's totally up to you. Right now, I'm not being convicted of speeding, but I just want you to say that when you're on the road, when you're doing stuff, when you're doing what God wants you to do, you welcome his presence. You want him to be there. But when you know you're not aligned with what he wants, you do not want God to be there because he's going to call you out on stuff, right? You're going to get in trouble. He's going to correct you. But again, in a loving way, he's going to do those things. Now, when it comes to a pure heart, you know, there's a lot of things that contain our hearts, and there's a lot of great examples in the Bible. And you know, if you want to look up, you know, the fruits of the Spirit is an awesome one. This is on the good side, Galatians 5:22. But before it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, it talks about the works of the flesh, right? Which is 5:19. So I'm not going to speak through them a lot, but it's talking about being deceitful. It's talking about being jealous. It's talking about being a drunkard. It's talking about being unfaithful, right? It's all those things. And, you know, ultimately, it's all these things where we serve our flesh and whatever it wants. Like, if it wants money, if it wants power, if it wants pleasure, right? Those are all the things that can make our hearts impure. And so if you guys are okay, I want to kind of leave you a little bit with hopefully something that you can enjoy. You know, we've been talking about driving a little bit, and that was not my intention. we're trying to talk about mercy and a pure heart. And I'm going to read this card to you real quick before I get there. So on the second side, you have a pure heart. It says, when you choose to have God give you a pure heart, your reward is that you can see God. Okay, that's another card you can play there. But, you know, with our driving, we've been, it's been raining quite a bit. Has anybody had to get, like, new windshield wipers or anything? Or were you guys already prepared for that? Okay. Now, when it comes to driving, everything is pretty good when it's dry, right? But as it starts to rain, what do you start to see on there? All these little water drops, right? And at some point, there's just too many of them, right? And you just can't see through it. And I don't know, do you guys have the wipers that go like this? You know, where it's like this? Anybody have the fancy ones that go like this? You know, in and out? I will tell you, growing up, I think my parents had one like this where they had to kind of reach out the window and wipe like this. You guys ever had any of those? So I'm not, you know, when I think about that, that doesn't seem like really safe because I think their head is actually out the window. So I'm not sure why they're wiping the windshield anyway. But maybe they would take a break, you know, coming up. And I'm assuming, you know, you kind of get your head wet, so it's probably a bad hair day, all those kind of things. Okay, but, you know, with these wipers, and I think you guys know we have more rain coming, right? You know, we've been really blessed with a lot of water, which is really good. But as you guys know, things, you know, it's part of the cycle. We're going to dry out and, you know, cook some more. But when we think about that windshield, I think that's kind of a picture of our hearts. When everything is good, when it's pure and it's clean, we can see through that thing clearly. But as things start to get impure on our hearts, that windshield starts to get more and more fuzzy, more and more unclear, and at some point we can't even see through it. And literally, I don't think we can see what God is doing. It's blocking us. We're being blinded from what God's doing. Okay? So my hope is with this message that when you're driving, you're going to be thinking about all this stuff. You're going to be like thinking about mercy, and you're going to be thinking about the pure in heart. And you're going to say, God, I need some spiritual windshield wipers. Clean my heart right now, right? I'm going to play my mercy, you know, my pure heart card. And I'm going to clear off of that windshield. All right. What I would like to do is I want to go ahead and wrap up and close. And if you don't mind, just turn out the lights a little bit. Now, I want to encourage you guys before I pray you guys out. So when it comes to our pure heart card, you know, there's times where we can use that. You know, if there's any time where we feel like we're trying to avoid something, or, you know, there's like, you know, maybe we're being untruthful, or not, you know, we're not being who we really are. You know, and I think we know that there's times like that where we're trying to get out of stuff. But, you know, in a good way, we can play our pure heart card too. When we feel like a distance from God, and we feel like we're not as close as we need to be or as we should be, that's also another time where we can play our pure heart card. When we truly want to say that we want to be nearer to God, we want to love His truth. And, you know, the thing that really speaks to me too is I want to have confidence in Christ. And what I mean by that is I don't want to just be confident. I just want to be confident in Christ, knowing that He is with me and that He loves me and He's not left me and He's continuing to work in me and through me. And when I face the impossible, when I want Him to move and I want Him to do something, I just ask God for a pure heart. Ask Him to make a way, because that's what He does. All right, so go ahead. You know, you can bow your heads. I just want you to be focused. I want to pray a couple blessings over you. Lord, I thank you for this scripture and the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, where you're helping us. I feel like, Lord, you're telling us very clearly what is important and what we need to focus on. And Lord, mercy is a big one. You love us in such a great way. Mercy is just an awesome demonstration of your love for us. Whether we're Christians or not, we get your mercy. Whether we deserve it or not, we get your mercy. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. I just say, Lord, we need your mercy. So I just pray your mercy would flow around us and through us. And I thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, our hearts are just so important. Lord, I just pray that we would point them towards you. And Lord, we just want to admit we don't always see what's going on in our hearts, and we don't know. But we want to give you invitation, because that's the kind of God you are, is you want to help us see where we need purity in our hearts. And Lord, you're also the one that has the tools to fix it, to purify our hearts. So I just thank you for that. And Lord, just like the psalmist, King David, and he just says, create in me a pure heart, a new heart. And so Lord, I just pray that we would give you that permission, that you would give us a pure heart and a new heart. And Lord, ultimately, I just want to close with this in Philippians. Paul encourages us that whatever is true and whatever is noble, whatever is right and whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So Lord, I ask for your favor. I ask, Lord, that you would make us a merciful church, that we would be merciful Christians, that our hearts would be purified, Lord, by your love and just your sacrifice for us, Lord. And so today we choose mercy, and we choose a pure heart. So church, I want to give you a blessing this week, that God's peace would be with you, that you would play your mercy cards, and you would play your pure heart cards, and share your testimonies, that you would grow closer to God and you would grow closer to people. So Lord, I ask for your favor over each one of us, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you, church. Have a blessed week. We'll see you next time.